Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic. This Thursday, folks, on the conversation I want to get into, we had a rally in Indiana with Trump and things he said, and amazing what he said. I'm going to get into that. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on Monday night called for State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman to resign after four women have come forth saying that drug abuse and he was abusing them, which, I mean, really a Democrat abusing women?
Surprise!
They should be getting a freaking medal. Bill Clinton did.
Bill Cosby did. Yep. And
Andrew Weiner did. Yep. Oh, wow. I want to get into that. Also, as you all know, on Monday, Trump tweeted that he was going to announced the Iran deal, staying or going, and we know the decision now, and I want to get into that, and I want to get into why we even did a deal with countries that hate us. And I want to get into Israel and what they did and everything. I want to get into that. It's going to be a conversation to talk about. Joe Piscopo, very, very Democratic for years, he voted for Trump. Why? Because he said two words, inner city. He never heard that out of a politician. And when Stormy Daniels was on SNL and they did a whole skit, he thought it was very inappropriate. And he's like, well, what do I tell my kids? And I'm like, well, what did parents tell their kids about Bill Clinton?
Yeah. Well, Dana Carvey, there's a bunch of them that
Yeah, that are like outraged.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the Saturday Night Live I grew up with. They would make fun of Reagan, but they would do it funny.
And they would have Mindale and them being made fun of, too.
Yeah, they made fun of everybody. You know, I want to get into that. And also, sanctuary gun spots in Illinois. It's happening. I want to get into that. And also, the latest on Alex Ferguson and United and much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you're a part of, folks, in Luke 24:51. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Think about that as you're going through your day today. And I'm going to give a quick, I can't get into details, but a good friend of mine, Robin, was sent to the hospital today, so our prayers go out to her. Hopefully she's doing okay. Basically, when I got to work, I got the message, hey, well, somebody is not able because we have blood tests being done at work for the insurance. It's incredible. And she couldn't do it. And so I know somebody was only 10, man, that's not much, 10 bucks a month. Well, the blood test they give you, when I gave that booklet to my doctor, it had like 10 tests he was going to do anyways. It saved me a ton of money. Because 1 year, I like, 3 years ago, the spouses had to do it too, but now it's just the main person on it that does it.
Oh, yeah, because we're not important.
For some reason, I don't know. It's probably just the insurance company being cheap. Who knows? But if you ever have those with your insurance, do it. It's free and tons of information. I mean, and it always comes up on mine, saying you need to have this looked at, have this, and it's because of my myopathy. Some of my enzymes and stuff don't work right, and I don't produce them. So they always come up as low. But, wow. I want to get right into this rally that Trump had in Indiana. My mom was going to go. She's like, yeah, I want to go. And when she found out how far, it was like 2 hours away. She said, I'm not driving 2 hours. She should have to get a hotel room. And mom, you'd have probably had to be there like when you talked about us doing it. Like 3 days ago, you probably had to have been in line. And if anyone's out there wondering, there was no Tuesday conversation. I had fluid so bad in my ears. My throat was so rough, I couldn't really speak, and you can't hear, so it's hard. I mean, I don't want to have people like canceling me, like, okay, your show's, you know, if I can't hear for prompts and stuff and other things I'm getting in my ear, it's not really conducive, and I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'd rather have no show than a bad show, so. And someone posted a picture of a car that's like all yellowish. And it said, welcome, Pollen's here. And I guess Pollen's like way, way, way worse. And I guess they're having major, lots of congestive issues and fluid in the ears and stuff. So that's why that didn't happen, folks. But, you know, Trump was in Indiana, and I think probably like Monday or something. Mom, yeah, there's been a line there. I bet you there was a mile-long line to get to see Trump. But I loved what he said. If you're a long time listener to the program, I've heard my mom goes, did you watch that inauguration where, not the inauguration, but the acceptance speech when Obama was in Chicago accepting the victory that he'd won, you know, after McCain conceded? She goes, did you notice something? I said, yeah. They were not, they were like praising a dictator, like Obama, Obama. Like, they were cheering him. It wasn't like USA, USA. It was Obama. You know, it wasn't like, it's like, Obama gave me a phone. Obama did this. Obama did that. Obama did this. Obama made this. Obama. What did Trump say tonight? He goes, our campaign. Our country. Our economy. This is ours. I'm just one person. This is all of us. Until we have complete denuclearization of North Korea, I'm glad we got three people home. I'm glad we got three hostages home. But until we have denuclearization, I'm not happy. I really will not think North Korea is a success until their people are free and can go and do as they want. And if they want to stay in North Korea, great. If they want to go to other countries and see how bad they really have it and see how screwed they've been their whole lives, when other countries, people have cars and, you know, it's one of those, you know, until that happens, along with denuclearization, it's nice to see us moving forward. I'm one of those, call me the Debbie Downer, but I see something, I don't know. I just wonder what the motive is. Are they really, because they've been in dire straits many times before. I mean, when they're people, yeah, they have free medical in North Korea. There is none. If the dear leader says, okay, bring this guy in, let him do eye surgeries, then they come in. And, you know, with watchful eyes of the minders, 24/7 watching every move they do, and they get eye surgery. Yeah, and then when the eyes, when you can see because of the surgeon, you praise the dear leader. It's not, thank you, surgeon. It's thank you, you gave me the surgery. That's how it is in this, in that country. And until that stuff really changes, I don't see, you know, I want to see people be able to go and do. I want to see people be able to go and do in that country. But it's nice when you have a president that this is my country. This is our country. I haven't done anything. I'm trying to fight an uphill battle. I'm trying to make America great again for all of us.
And what I love is he's taking Obama's legacy and getting rid of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what people don't realize. We, you know, they may start saying Trump, Trump, but then they go USA, 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 USA.
And, you know, he's one of the he's the most, he's the president that most calls us to God. He's telling us to praise God, to pray, thanking God, letting us know that God is doing stuff. It's not him.
Yeah. He's like, you know, help your neighbors, pray for your neighbors, be there, praise God, say Merry Christmas.
I've been listening to Christian radio, talk radio. They say he's one of the most Christian presidents we've had since Reagan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
If not more than Reagan.
Yep.
Not perfect, but none of us are. I'm trying to get that out
there. Now, I forget where this is. I need to look this up as I talk. But, you know, I mean, he is very, very Christian. Here we go. This is what I wanted to get into. Okay. This is, I don't know if you've heard about this, where a school allows everyone to make the cheer team after parent complains that their daughter made the cheer, my daughter didn't make the cheer team and all this. And this is, I'm going to get into this because in my experience, like when my sister tried to get into the cheer squad, it was all about popularity. You could have been someone that you could have put in this girl in a national championship caliber cheerleading squad that does the competitions that they show on ESPN and could have been on one of those teams, but because she was not, but they're not popular, they wouldn't make the squad. It was all about popularity. It was a pop, you know, it was only the cool cheerleader, chicky kids that got into the cheerleading. It wasn't about skill.
Well, they had auditions and it wasn't about.
Oh, we had auditions, but it didn't matter. You could have been able to be put on a national championship cheerleading squad that does the competitions on ESPN, and they wouldn't even take you just because you're not popular. And there's up in arms about this, you know. And let me get this. Just a second. Okay, let me get him so he can hear. Welcome, but. When you look at this cheerleading squad, you know, I look at it like this. If the girl was Down syndrome, she could, you know, and never has the opportunity to get on the squad. Now, I'm assuming that this is just a cheer squad. This is not like a competition. This is just ones that go to the basketball games.
It's a cheer squad, and I don't think the girl was Down syndrome. I just think there was a girl who didn't get to see.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying... But, like, it'd be cool to have, if the girl was Down syndrome, everyone would have a different viewpoint.
Oh, she was Down syndrome. They would have mercy. And, oh, look how good we are. We'll have her on the team.
Yeah. But, I mean, and that's the thing. If this was a competition squad, that's a whole different ballgame with this girl. But since, you know, we got to have at some point a line drawn that says, okay, hey, some points, you know, not everyone wins. There's not a participation trophy everywhere you go. And that's not how life works. I mean, there was actually talk about this because this was brought up about, like, okay, in some schools they have an allergy table where if you have an allergy, you go to this table. And that way, you know, if you sit at this table, there's no peanuts, there's no way. And, like, this guy goes, well, in the real world, there's no allergy table. They need to be prepared that when they go to a restaurant, they have to ask a million questions. Does this contain milk? Because I can die from it. Does this contain peanuts? Because I can die from it. Just like I have to do. What contains wheat? How, you know, I have celiac disease. And when, you know, and I don't understand this. Well, my daughter didn't get in. You know what? My mom would have said, well, you didn't get into the cheer squad. Maybe you should have tried harder. Maybe you should have been more popular. I don't know. You didn't get in. There was no parent running to the school. My daughter didn't make the cheer squad. This is not fair. I don't know. I mean, we live in this world where everyone has to have a trophy. Everyone has to be a first place. I mean, granted, when I was in YMCA baseball, and I've said this before, we had these little tiny, like, 2-inch trophies so that they can, so we could have something instead of a little piece of paper that we would probably lose after 2 weeks. And we wanted these giant trophies that were, like, 2 feet tall for first, second, and third place. These big ones, these massive ones. And you worked your butt off to try to get those. Everyone got these little tiny-ass, like, 1-inch trophy or 2-inch trophy. Everyone wanted them. Yeah, you hated those. You wanted that big thing. You know, and because they thought, well, in 5 years, this piece of paper you get is going to be, you're probably not going to have it, where this trophy, and I still have mine somewhere. I don't know where they are, but somewhere I still have my little baseball trophies for the 2 years I did it.
They're packed up
somewhere. My point is, we didn't expect to have a trophy. That was just something that they did so that, because it would, they thought it would last longer than a piece of paper. But you have these people now that we're an indoctrinated society where everything, everyone should be given this. Everyone should have that. Everyone should go to college. Everyone should do this. Everyone, nah. You know, teach your kids, if there's parents out there, that it's okay to work with your hands. It's okay to work on a car. It's okay to be a plumber. It's okay to be an electrician. It's okay to be an iron worker. You make damn good money. Granted, you're up, you know, sometimes 30, 40 stories, and it's dangerous work. But as long as you have your safety equipment and use it as you're instructed, it can be safe. But we have so many kids in this world that think they should just, oh, I'm going to go to college, and then I'm going to be a CEO. I'm just going to sit in a desk. That's not the case. And that's something that I don't get. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, I don't know where this indoctrinated society came from, where all of a sudden people feel like they're entitled to everything.
I don't get it.
I mean, I was never brought up to expect anything. See, but then I grew up in an age when, okay, we're going to watch the State of the Union address, and I'm going to show you what the president's doing, when he's doing it, why he's doing it, not about what he's saying, not like, well, oh, can you believe he said that? Do you believe that? Not pushing a political view. Okay, he's going to come down the hall. He's going to shake these people's hand. He's going to do this. He's going to address the Speaker of the House. He's going to do this. He's going to shake his hand. And just, it was just kind of like, this is what he does. It was never, you know, now these teachers are, oh, crap, well, I have to, you know, I'm going to show you a State of the Union address from Bill Clinton because, you know, he's the greatest president, and they push an agenda down your throat. Well, when I was in school, this is what we do. This is, you know, this is what happens. This is what he's doing. I know some of my teachers from high school, now they're political views because I still know them. But, you know, now you have these kids that are so indoctrinated that everything should be free. Everything should be given to them.
Then it's good.
I mean, this is crazy. But I don't know. I want to move on, folks, because I don't know if you heard about this, but this is not surprising to me, but Eric Schneiderman is being asked to resign by Andrew Cuomo on Monday night because he's being accused of drug abuse and physically abusing people. So, yeah, I got a caller that was listening, and I put him on hold because I couldn't hear. But he's one of those. It's one of those things that I'm surprised that. Oh, and I think they're just trying to save skin. I honestly think they're trying to save skin. Hey, we're gonna take this one person, and we're gonna sit there, and we're gonna set an example and get rid of somebody. Hey, we're the good people. We're getting rid of the bad ones. I mean, they're all corrupt. That's what people got to realize. These people are all corrupt. And that's, you know, and, well, I don't see, I mean, Republicans should do the same thing. I mean, if they were to really clean house, there'd be none of them left. But that's the problem we have in this world. People don't have, people don't get that. You know, people don't get that fact that they're, you know, I'm not surprised that Eric, the Attorney General, the State Attorney General, is accused of all this crap. It's one of those things that as you look into it and you sit there, you just shake your head like, when are people going to wake up and see the the craziness of all that's going on? You know, I mean, they're all corrupt. You know, don't, and then they'll try to act like, well, they're doing something. They're trying to, this guy is corrupt and sending all this abuse to women, and we're weeding out the bad people. And the issues I see here is, you know, this needs to be done on a broad scale so that this shouldn't be acceptable. This should not be acceptable. I mean, like Rosie O'Donnell, she's accused of donating crap tons of money to the Democratic Party more than is legally allowed. Now, if something doesn't happen to her, people are going to say, well, wait a minute. How can you arrest me? Look at what she did. She broke the law. Why isn't nothing happened to her? Why? Yet, I'm going to set that as president in a court case. If she did something that's technically illegal and they did nothing to her, why are you doing something to me? You know, kids are going to think things are acceptable. I mean, you shouldn't physically abuse women or... I guess, you know, I honestly think it's just a ruse to try to get people and, you know, look like we're, pretend like we're cleaning house when they're not really doing a damn thing. I mean, when you look at the stuff that's going on in this United States, we finally have someone that's doing something, that's stepping up and saying, hey, I'm an American. This is our country. This is our presidency. This is our time. This is our economy. We have a responsibility to show respect to the young ones. Am I perfect? No. But it's nice to see someone that the world does not revolve around him. And I hope Eric resigns if he has not. And I hope there's more house cleaning, because this stuff shouldn't be acceptable. It's not. And as many of you heard on Tuesday, this wonderful Obama-Iran deal. It's just so wonderful. Let's just do business with someone that takes the American flag and burns it. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, let's just give them money. Yeah, they hate us, but let's just give them money. Let's just donate money to them. And you know what? Oh, we're going to continue the nuclear deal. We're going to continue our nuclear resource. We're going to continue our nuclear stuff. Yeah, don't worry. We're just going to continue to do this nuclear crap. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Yeah, Your days of having buddy buddies, Iran, is over. Oh, so you get pissed off and you go and you strike Israel. Boy, was that a mistake. What did Benjamin Netanyahu say many times? We know where you are. You attack us. They're not waiting. You know, we're not, they're not waiting for. Hi, ho, it's over. Where's America to come save the day? No, they struck right back. When the poison gas was hit on the Syrian people, what did we do? We struck back. And if you think it was the wrong thing, talk to the people that live there. That thank God someone's standing up and doing something to protect us and help us. Remember CNN, that lady that was on CNN? Oh, yeah. So these greedy, evil conservatives and Republicans don't want you here. We don't want to be here. We want to be in our own country. Hello, wake up. DS. It's funny how people around the world think the world of Trump, for the most part. Not every single person does, but for the most part, the majority of the people around the world are thanking him for being our president. Not liberals. Oh my God, he's making America great again. I want it to fail. I want to live at home in my parents' basement. Oh, maybe I want to actually go to work and come home and provide and not feel like, okay, here's the 50th collection call. What the heck? I got medical bills 50 miles high. I can't afford anything. Burgers are now $25. And that's for a little Happy Meal burger. Oh, yeah. Well, that's just a burger. If you want the cheese, that's another $3. Oh, this is a little fun fact. If you ever wonder why carnival food usually is, like state fair foods, usually are really expensive, it's because if you ever work there, a lot of those places demand you buy the food from them. So a 10-pound case of potatoes is like $30 or $40 or $50 because you have to buy it through, you know, and then you have to jack your prices up to make money because the because I used to work with a group that did like the South Florida Fair and some of this stuff, and they're wanting them to buy the Coke and everything from them. Like, I can buy this for $40. I'm not paying $80 for a thing of Coke. You kidding me? And they said, well, if you want us to, if you're going to keep forcing us to do all this stuff and buy all this stuff from you instead of bringing our own, we're going to go somewhere else. Fun little factoid. They're not making that much money. But I mean, they're making some money, but not like ridiculous. But hey, that's the world we live in, folks. It's nice to see a country, as I get back to Israel and Iran. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu is basically like, well, come on, bring it. You want to throw down? I'll throw down. Iran didn't even know what this. Well, he warned you. He didn't. It's not like. Unprecedented. Like they didn't expect it. Well, he warned them. I guess he didn't think that they would actually follow through. Well, Buckaroo Bob, there you go. It's nice to see someone saying, bye-bye. Now, when you see those three Americans from North Korea come home, and you see, that brings you to tears. And you see this Iran getting fought back, you know, when you see Israel fight back, I don't know how anyone can tell me that. How dare we get out of this nuclear deal when Iran's burning an American flag? They basically said, we're going to continue our nuclear program. They didn't say, okay, we're stopping it.
How many wives did Israel did not Netanyahu prove that they were lying?
Yeah.
How many times?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but when Benjamin Netanyahu was, Yahoo was here in front of Congress when Obama was president, there are people that turned their back. That's not anti-American. I don't know what is. I don't know what that is anti-American 100%. Oh, wow. Let me see here. This is really cool. I got to get into this because when I was in high school, this is in 94, I think it was, we had like study hall, you know, and I was in like a study hall where they had like people there that could help you and do stuff and ask questions with. And what horses don't realize is, if there's kids in the room, you probably shouldn't hear this part, but there's two things. If you break a leg, you're probably going to be killed as a horse. And if you win the Kentucky Derby, you probably don't realize that you're going to be milked like crazy so that they can sell that sperm off for $50 million because it could be potentially worth billions if the horse becomes successful. Because I'm getting into, in 94, this lady was going to the Kentucky Derby, and I'm like, I got $1,000, put it on payday. Oh, I can't bet for you, I can't do that. I'm like, fine.
$1,000 today for 20.
No, I didn't have it. I had $1,000 not on me, I'd have to get it at home. And guess what? Come back Monday. Yeah, remember I told you to put $1,000 on the Kentucky Derby? Yeah. Who did I tell you to put it on? She goes, payday. Well, who won the Kentucky Derby? Payday. She's like, I still wouldn't have done it. I still wouldn't. I'm like, you got to be. But this lady bet $18 on the Kentucky Derby and wins $1.2 million. I don't know how that works because I would think it would have to be like a 75-1. I don't know how she did it. But, and I think the people that win the Kentucky Derby get like $1.4 million or something. But I've never understood it because it's like the Daytona 500 in one lap. But hey. I mean, I'd be afraid to go to the damn thing because I got to go take a piss. You come back, the thing's over. What? You mean I spent $400 for a ticket and I missed the race because I had to go to the bathroom? Are you kidding me? Reminds me of that guy that went to the Mike Tyson fight and by the time he got his hot dog and stuff and got back to the seat, the fight was over. But I thought that was kind of, you know, $1.2 million. It doesn't really say, like, what the odds were, how she got that much. I don't know. I mean, this is, being a Second Amendment supporter, this is so awesome, coming from a pretty anti-gun state. Illinois counties form sanctuaries for gun owners to thwart state's push for gun control. I've actually carried my gun in Illinois, where I guess like in Chicago, it's you can't carry at all. And I'm like, wow. But in my opinion, the Constitution would trump the state law. So, but who knows? I'd have been arrested anyways. I'd have been like, okay, yeah, I got. Okay, well, I want you to. Okay, then I want you to go down to South Chicago and patrol those areas without a gun. See how long the cops would do that. Like parts of Detroit, cops wouldn't even go down some of those roads. You kidding me? Good guys don't protect you. Good guys with guns don't protect you. I'm like, so you don't support cops? Yeah, we do. They're a good guy and they've got a gun. Well, most of them anyways, 95% of them. But it's just awesome to see if you're going to have a sanctuary city where you're going to harbor illegals, well, we're going to have sanctuary cities for gun owners. We're going to have areas where, you know, where we don't care. Because they're trying to pass very, very super... Like Illinois doesn't realize that their gun laws have actually made things worse. If you think restricting guns is a good thing, just look at all those National Geographic shows and all those criminals and say, I hope Obama gets the gun ban passed, because that's going to be more money in my pocket, because I deal in cocaine, I deal in crack, I deal in everything. I'll just add guns in my repertoire. I couldn't sell crack if it was legal. Who would buy it from me? I mean, there are people that supposedly claim that if you know where to go in Colorado, you can get weed off the street from somebody for cheaper than you could through a dispensary, but I'd rather get it through a dispensary, because then I can know, okay, I'm getting this strain, this variety, because I'd be using it for a specific purpose, not just to see that's the common misconception. Oh, you're just a pothead, you just want to get high. Well, let me tell you, if I just want to get high, I can go to the dispensary, give me the most concentrated THC candy bar, 8 million milligrams of THC. You know, that's not the case. But it's nice to see a state that opens up and say, "Hey, you wanna? Hey, we're gonna help you out. We're gonna provide protection for you, Second Amendment right people." I mean, it's a big thing, because I mean, I love, because Indiana is one step away from being a state where you can open carry, period. Where there's no, I mean, you can open carry now and conceal and carry. There's just one permit, but they're going to look at abolishing the permit. Because I showed my gun permit to a buddy, and he's like, "Wow, so we don't have separate permits. In some states, you have to have a separate, you have to pay for a license to open carry or conceal and carry, where in Indiana, they're trying to get rid of the permits altogether. Some people say it's a great thing, some people don't, so... It's one of those things. You know, I've listened to both sides of it. You know, like, well, if there's no permit, then how do you know who's legally carrying and who's not? And if you have a permit, it at least lets you know that, hey, he's gone through. That way, the permit proves, hey, he's legally allowed to have one. Where felons technically can't. And some people say, well, yeah, I've cleaned my act up. I'm not that douchebag, and I've given up that life. I'm not that way anymore. And so it's one of those things where there's, because I've seen sides of the, I like ours where we have a permit, and it's a concealed carry permit, you know, and it's an open carry permit. So this is ridiculous. This is just absolutely ridiculous. A charity cornhole tournament got violent in Georgia, and it's supposed to help raise money for like students, you know, for outstanding leadership skills. For high school students, they're taking scholarships for outstanding leadership skills, and this cornhole tournament gets violent. That, if that's not like the exact opposite of what they're raising funds for, I don't know what is. My wife can't get past the fact that I couldn't say cornhole. Hey. We all have. Hey, I can speak today. I'm doing good. Tuesday, the fluid in my ears, I couldn't hear, I couldn't see, I couldn't hear anything, I couldn't, it hurt to talk. I had Vicks, those honey drop things, I was sucking those things down like water. I was drinking water like crazy. But it's just one of those things, you know, that, hey, But it's just funny. The whole point of it is to raise scholarship funds for all these kids, and then they're, you know, responsible people, and it's a charity event, and I just thought it was funny. I mean, you see them like in an all-out brawl. But hey, what do you expect? This is America. Land of the... They must be liberals in that cornhole game because of the double standard. Let's have a brawl that goes against everything we're raising money for. I don't know if I talked about this or not, but I'm going to get into this because I forget when. I'm going to see if I can find when that article was. But I don't know if I talked about this or not because I was sick, but there has been talk recently where the main shareholders of NASCAR are putting their stocks up for sale, basically. NASCAR, as we know it, may not exist. And it's crazy because I was talking to it with a girl I work with. Yeah, I didn't get to talk to this. But NASCAR owners are in talks to sell series, report says, because of declining ratings. Viewership is way down. Ticket sales are plummeting. I used to have Michigan guest guides going back to like 97. And there are seats that are in, I have one from 2010 that has tons of seats that don't even exist anymore. They went from no, they went from them like being like $65 seats to $25 seats, sit wherever you want to they got rid of them. They used to have a huge turn three stand that went like 55 seats high. It was incredible. I went up like, after the race, when I just walked up the stand just to see what the heck it was like once. An incredible view. But, and I've been a NASCAR fan since the 80s. And my honest opinion is, when there was a big void when Dale Sr. died. You know, heroes don't die. And when that accident happened, and oh no, everyone, my buddy's like, oh, he's going to get out of the car. I'm like, you don't go 180 miles an hour to a dead stop instantaneously. And there's rumor that, you know, Darrell Waltrip believes that during the red flag, his belt was loose. He loosened up his belts and didn't tighten them. And there's all kinds of speculation, you know, whatever. But, I mean, when he died, there was a huge void. And there's been speculation for years that was all scripted. The Pepsi 400, the next race at Daytona that year when Dale Jr. won the race, and he learned lessons from his father to go from sixth to first in two laps and win the Pepsi 400. And, you know, Michael Waltrip celebrating with him, and, you know, there's people saying it was scripted and all this to try to keep this, you know, try to fill a void that was not there when Dale left. And, but you think about it, they got out of Rockingham. You know, North Wilkesboro, the stuff that made them famous, we're not Rockingham anymore. Not many people remember this, but when Dale Sr. won the Daytona 500 the next week, he had to use champions provisionals to get into Rockingham because he could not, his car would not get up to speed. And I miss those races. I miss the races when they were at Rockingham and at North Wilkesboro. So many people are fed up with this, with these segments, and I kind of feel like, okay, and I've said this before on the program, that when you had Matt Kenseth won the 2003 NASCAR Winston Cup title, the last year Winston was the sponsor, he didn't hardly do anything. And, well, we got to fix it. Because, I mean, how can someone not really win a race or do anything and end up winning the championship and, you know, and what do we do? And then they started the whole chase, and a lot of people blame him for the chase. And we got to have some way to make it so that, you know, it's, you know, to so that you have to almost do something to win the race, to win the title. And, well, this is what I did because I won the title, and this is what I did. This is what I accomplished, you know. But like I've said this many times, you know, if you have a 199-lap race, should you get more points for leading 199 laps to the 200-lap race, or the guy that leads the last lap and wins the race, should he get the most points? And I've said this many times. I think you should have points for laps led and points. Okay, you get 100 points if you win the race, no matter what. But if you lead 70 laps and you win the race, you get 100 points for leading the last lap and winning the race, and you get 10 points for every 10 lap. You get a point a lap or something. That way, you get points for what you did leading those laps, but then you get points also for winning, so it evens out the field. You know, I think they've just tried to, every time they turn around, well, and I think a lot of that was lost too when you had like 6 years in a row where Jimmy Johnson won a title. Well, all he really has to do is start the last race and he won. If all he has to do is start the car and he's basically won the championship before, and then we need to have it so that at the last race, we have 4 eligible drivers that could win. I mean, in 2004, Jeff Gordon should have won that NASCAR championship, the first Nextel Cup, but he didn't because right near the end, they changed the points, which I think was bullcrap. They should have waited till the end of the season. Leaving the points the way it was, he would have won the championship. He ended up like fourth or fifth. It was a bullcrap. And all this changing and stuff, I think, has just turned people off. IndyCar will change little things here or there, but that's it. They're not like totally trying to change every single solitary thing. It is the way it is. They may add a push to pass or take away a push to pass, but you know what? It is what it is, and they go with the punches, and they're succeeding. They're not trying to change the format of the racing every year. The racing you've come to love and expect from IndyCar hasn't really changed. NASCAR, it's changed a bunch. Every time you turn around, they have new rules. And I think it's what's frustrating people. I remember back in the day, you would have all-out brawls in the victory lane. All right, it looks like the Jimmy Johnson crew is going to go after the Jeff Gordon crew. There's going to be some suspensions. People are going to be really, you know, that was just part of racing. I guess back in the day, it was about passion. They said, well, what? If I get a donut, I get a donut. I just love the race and I want to win. It was not much money involved. But this, I think the problem is they keep trying to change crap every time they turn around. Well, since Jimmy Johnson basically won 6 championships in a row, we got to figure out, no, he won them because he's amazing. I don't like the guy, but he's an amazing driver. He is incredible. Reminds me of Dale Sr. because it doesn't matter if I'm in 50th place, I'm in first, I want to be ahead of that car in front of me. I want to be ahead of that car in front of me no matter what. I don't care if I'm 30 laps down, I want to be 29 laps down. That's what Dale Sr. wanted to do. And I think people just got their panties in them. Well, you know, if you start, because I know there were a couple years where I kind of got like, all he has to do is basically start the race. I just wanted him to go out, Johnson, just so maybe someone else could get close enough to where, hey, there's at least a chance for two people to be in title contention. So it's not like, okay, all we have to do is Jimmy Johnson basically has to cross the start. If this car starts and he crosses the start-finish line and passes the green flag, he's won the championship. He's basically... And even then, all he would have to do is some things, and, you know, even, you know, it would take a miracle for another guy to even come close. And I think that's what turned a lot of people away, and with them changing everything. So that's my two cents on that. But I'm going to get on to some United news. As many of you know, we drew level with West Ham, and my wife's like, what the heck? And I can tell you what the heck. We were just super defensive to allow West Ham not to score, but we're not, there's no attacking. We're not an attacking team anymore. We used to have Solskjaer and Teddy Sherrington and Roy Keane and Gary Pallister and Andy Cole and Ruud van Nistelrooy and attackers and people that move the ball. There's talk about, you know, because Mourinho has been very blunt going off on, you know, pointing the finger at his players. And what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And is it right? And is it wrong? And I'm like, well, hey, if he would have came out and said, hey, I brought you onto United because I thought you were, because we have an expectation of being an attacking team and this and that, and you're not living up to the expectation that I assumed you would do. See, but the problem I know Mourinho couldn't do that because, like, when he attacks, I didn't like the fact that he attacked the players and went off and saying, hey, and blame the players because, well, if you want to keep someone like Fellaini that shouldn't be near the club, then there you go. I mean, if you're going to keep someone like that, I mean, there are players that I think are that unless they have a perfect game and score a hat trick, he probably still wouldn't keep them. He probably still wouldn't play them on a consistent basis. But if you want, basically, what I see with that team is if Mourinho wants you on the pitch and he loves you, he wants you on the pitch no matter what. Don't matter. No matter how good or how bad you are, like no matter how bad Fellaini is or how good he is, Fellaini could go 20 games without scoring a goal and he'd keep playing him. But if Anthony Martial scored 3 hat tricks in that time, well, if he doesn't want to play him, he won't. He'll make excuses. Well, he didn't play it. Well, neither did Fellaini. Neither did this guy, you know. I mean, it's just, I just don't like the fact that he, because Alex Ferguson was never a manager that would have done that. Louis van Gaal wouldn't have done that. That's not right. Now, could there be something to be said that, hey, you know, well, guess what, folks? I'm gonna tank. I'm gonna play. I'm sick and tired of the way Mourinho treats us. So I'm gonna tank on purpose. I'm gonna play like crap on purpose so that we start going down until the board gets rid of him. Can that be the case? Could he be losing the locker room? Could he be losing the respect? I mean, I don't know if you could sit there as a... Because I know we're fans and we can be critical. I mean, could there be people... I mean, I've not heard, and I don't think there's anyone that comes out and says, you know, hey, you know, well, if he's going to keep someone like Fellaini, what the hell? You know, we're as good as our weakest link. We're not a long ball team. We're not a long ball, you know. There are so many other leagues where that is very popular and it's a more slow style of football and he'd be way more successful, you know. We're in second place. We can't, you know, we take what we get. I just, when you have the goalie win player of the year four of the last five years, that says something. That says we're not an attacking team anymore. You can't win in the Premier League, in my opinion, just being very, very, very defensive and hoping to squeak out a lucky goal. You can't have a team that is all center defensive midfielders and hope that, okay, we're all going to play super, super defensively and we're not going to be very attacking and hope that we get one good thing down and score. That might win you football games years past, but it's not going to win you games now. And it's sure in the heck, if you're tied, not going to win you on goal differential. Because if they're winning 3-0 and you're winning 1-0, they're going to beat you on a goal differential any day, all day long. And if it comes down to you at the same points, it's just, I guess we're frustrating. We're united. Or maybe we're just used to more. I guess we're used to seeing more exciting football. Instead of sitting there like, okay, here we go. You know, it's like, I need to go to the bathroom. And I'm afraid if I do, Nestor is going to score a goal or something amazing is going to happen. You know, it's just a sign of the times. So, until something changes, until, I don't know if we need to say, okay, yeah, we need to keep Mourinho, but the coaching staff around him, we need to get a more attacking style group of people around him instead of the people that he's known to have around him and his managers and his coaches that are very much a let's grind out wins by being very defensive and hopefully we get a lucky goal. I want to thank you for tuning into the conversation that you are a part of. This is our conversation. And the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Till next Tuesday, good night, and God bless. Goodbye.